Let's go.
Are you ready to level up your journey? Welcome to Get On Top, where we dive deep into the riveting tales of self-made entrepreneurs and corporate titans who have scaled the summit of success. We'll uncover the secrets behind their huge rise. Get ready for a roller coaster of insights, inspiration, and a roadmap to elevate both your mindset and your life. This is Get On Top with Morgan Brown. Today on Get On Top, I'm sitting down with a builder in one of the toughest, fastest moving industries out there. Someone who's not just creating restaurants, but reshaping what it means to work in them. Colin Denton is the founder and creator of Dovetail Restaurants and Kokomo Foods, two brands that have carved out a distinct identity in Vancouver's food scene. From his early days from studying business to GM opening restaurants across Canada, Colin has built his career from the ground up, learning firsthand what it takes to scale, lead, and evolve in high-pressure environments. Today, we're getting into what it actually takes to hit high growth in hospitality, how to build and lead teams that last, and the realities of partnerships, and why Colin is so passionate about creating a healthier, more sustainable way of working and living in the restaurant world. Get ready to get on top with Colin Denton. Colin, welcome to Get On Top.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Very exciting.
I'm so excited. I'm a huge fan of what you guys are doing here in the city and to all the people that you're working alongside with. For those that are just listening, first of all, where are you from? Where are you from?
Like
originally,
OG, like born and raised. Yeah, it's a little bit complicated. So I was born at Lionsgate Hospital in North Van, and then I think when I was like 6 weeks old, I went up to this mining town on like the BC Yukon border called Cassiar.
What?
And I spent like my first year of my life there, and then we moved to Hamilton. So I spent some time in Ontario.
Beautiful.
And then kind of as I started to get into like kindergarten, so 5 years old, moved back to North Van. Spent my schooling years, I guess, in North Van, and then
the North Shore.
Yeah, North Shore, and then spent a little bit of time in Toronto, and then back to the West Coast.
Oh
as
my
we
God.
All do.
I'm trying to, because when I see you, I'm like, where are you from? I'm trying to pinpoint because you feel so, your aura feels very like worldly.
Oh, thank you.
I'm just going to say it. That's what it feels like. Let's talk about your story from kind of where all of this began. You're this incredible entrepreneur. You are taking massive risks that I'm seeing, everyone's seeing. Where did this all originate from? Maybe start from the beginning of it.
Yeah, I'll go way back and I'll try and make it quick.
Great.
But I was fortunate. I had a mentor from like a really young age. And so my uncle is quite a successful entrepreneur in BC. And so kind of as we're growing up and going to family outings with him, like we're going on his yacht. We're going to these crazy house parties that are catered. And so that was a really cool experience growing up. And I kind of knew that like I wanted to be like my uncle. And so
when did you know?
Young. So I have people tell me when I was like 6 or 7 that I was like, I want to be a businessman. And I don't think I knew what that meant, but I wanted to be like my uncle. And so I got a pretty good head start. And so when I was in high school in like grade 9 and grade 10, I was begging to go into the electives in grade 11 or 12, like marketing and accounting and stuff like that to try and get a head start. And so I did all the studying. I read like BC Business Magazine when I was in high school, which was, a little ahead of my time.
That's a sign, everybody,
that
you're taking elective marketing and sales and you're reading BC Magazine.
Yeah. it was what drove me. And I kind of, when I get on something, I really want to kind of be the best that I can at that. So that was great. But then I went to Cap College, now university, to get my business degree.
Great.
And I kind of did my first year and I hate to say this, it almost felt too easy.
Okay.
And that scared the shit out of me. I don't know if I can swear.
Yeah, no, but it's good.
It scared me because I wasn't being challenged. And so I kind of needed to, hit pause a little bit and kind of figure out what I wanted to do. So I, after about a year and a half, I took a break and went traveling.
YOLO year.
The little gap, like Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam, kind of. And then I was going to live in Australia. And so we ended up doing the west coast of Australia. And we were going to end up in Brisbane and get a job. And so I did. And that's where I got my first restaurant job.
Okay.
And I poured Guinness for a couple weeks and then realized that I love the restaurant industry. And I love the idea of, you know, not have being in front of a desk 9 to 5. I think a lot of entrepreneurs can kind of share that same mentality. And this whole idea of socializing and creating an experience for people, like a light bulb went off in my head. And so me being focused, and when I know something and I want to do it, I kind of canceled the rest of my trip. We finished, did a quick like 2 week rip up the coast. And then,
oh, great.
Yeah. And then I went back home.
What a fun time.
Yeah. And then I went back home to kind of start my career. And so I decided not to finish school and get right into the restaurant industry and got a job at White Spot.
Oh, great.
Great training grounds for the restaurant industry. They got a great kind of corporate background.
They do.
And then I did the corporate thing for 12 years after that. So I worked for Cactus Club and became a GM quite young with them. Mm-hmm. I think I was 25 when I got my first restaurant with Cactus Club, and then went through and worked at a couple other locations. And then it took me to Ontario. And so I opened up the first Cactus location in Ontario as the general manager. And that kind of gave me my like background and kind of corporate backbone that helped me kind of get the confidence to do my own thing.
Okay. Let me ask you, you know, at 25 years old, now being in the position where you're hiring those people for your own restaurant, what do you think it was with you that made people see, like give you that golden key to be that GM and to start opening up those restaurants?
Yeah, I think like it was the combination of like my love for sales. Mm-hmm. I think that is something that has always motivated me, is like the salesmanship side of it. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to kind of go into whatever restaurant that I was working at and really look at it subjectively and see what are the gaps and what are the things missing in order to create systems to make the experience better, which in turn is going to give us sales. And so I think it was just my ability to quickly make change and see improvement, which ultimately led to sales increase, which, you know, with a well-run restaurant then leads to profit increase. And I think that was kind of one of the big things. And I think just my drive, you know, I think for whatever I lack, I will outwork the people that maybe have a little bit more skill than me. Mm-hmm. And that always worked for me and kind of helped me with moving my career forward.
How much has that shifted now? I mean, for the outwork culture, you know, like I feel like there's a, in the restaurant world, is it still like that? Like from what you were when you were because I want to hear the evolution of that a bit.
Yeah. I mean, I think now like I'll still be that person, but I don't expect that from everyone else because I thrive in chaos but not everyone's like that. And I think that was a big learning for me as, you know, as I kind of went through is like, you can't expect everyone to work as hard as you. No one cares as much as you do at the end of the day. And until you realize that, it can create frustration. But I think now it's, you know, working with people and getting them to understand the non-negotiables of like what needs to get done. And then training efficiency, I think, is the biggest thing. Like, how can you maximize your output in the shortest amount of time? And then it's, you know, it's something we talk about at Dovetail right now is work-life balance is super important.
Okay.
I think it's now one of the most important things that we see, especially with younger managers kind of coming up. That's their biggest area of concern is, you know, if I get into management or into a senior level management, does my life stop? And knowing what I was like, I don't want other people to be like that. So we train them on how to be efficient and use technology and all these other things that kind of help them have that work-life balance and surround them with good people so that when they have days off, they don't have to worry about things.
Right? Yeah, that's a huge part. Your team, the people around you is everything. Mm-hmm. When you're talking, like, I'm so happy you mentioned Dovetail and that beautiful restaurant that you really took over a space and now it's like, that when was that not there?
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. I don't even know what was there prior. Tell me a little bit about you opening up your own restaurant. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, you were in these incredible positions where you saw it from the ground up.
Yeah.
You put systems in place. You knew the sales side of it. Now, where was the idea where you're like, I should open a restaurant? and bet myself on this.
Well, I think, you know, going back to when I left Cactus Club, I got an opportunity to open another restaurant in Toronto, where they handed me the keys essentially from the beginning. And so I got a test run with someone else's money, which is, you know, something I would recommend as well, is like try and do it on your own with someone else's money before you invest your money in. But we had a lot of success, and that gave me the confidence to kind of to do it on my own. But it wasn't a quick process. You know, when my business partner and I were getting together and we decided we wanted to do this, there was 6 months of planning before we, you know, got a deal done for this location in Yale Town. And so it was every Thursday morning, 8 a.m., the same coffee shop. For 2 hours, we'd meet and we would discuss. And so, you know, we felt prepared going into it. And I think that gave me the confidence to kind of move forward and kind of go all in on this.
On yourself. Yeah, I know.
On myself.
That resonates with me deeply, the coffee shop, because there used to be a coffee shop called Buzz Cafe on the corner of Seymour and, I don't know, Homer Street. And my partner and I, same thing, every Thursday morning, it was a Wednesday actually, every morning before we started our company, we were just sitting there like trying to go through all the different iterations, what could go wrong. And that's when you start to really feel like you get a lot of confidence within the plan, right? Like when you're really 100%. Coming together and dreaming. Let's talk about your partnership. So partnership is not easy for everyone. It's probably one of the biggest topics when I'm talking to business owners, entrepreneurs that are thinking about doing something and want to do something themselves, but then they feel like they're maybe missing that they'll never be able to be great at. Mm-hmm. Was that a similar kind of scenario with you and your partner? And how did you find your partner? Where do you guys really shine on both sides?
Yeah, I mean, I think like for me, when I was thinking about opening up my own restaurant, I don't think I would have ever done it without a chef as a partner. I think that was super important. Chefs are artists. They can be, you know, flighty sometimes and maybe unreliable. And so that's always a worry. You know, you can have a great chef and he can not show up on day one and you're kind of back to square one. And so having someone that was dependable, reliable, but filled the gap of, you know, a big unknown for me, which is the creative food side, right? Mm-hmm. Was super important, but also sharing the same values, I think, is, you know, in the restaurant industry is, you know, you need to have a well-rounded chef to be successful. Mm-hmm. Things are so expensive these days, cost of goods, hiring and training employees, the money that you invest in that, like they have to be dialed. So for me and my partner, they need to be a great creative, number one. But number two, they need to understand the business side of it as well, too. Yeah.
And the commitment, right?
The commitment.
Yeah, 100%. The key commitment behind it. And you're right, like they are such artists.
Yeah, 100%.
They really are. And everyone that's listening, I hope you're really hearing that. Like it is a true art when you're sitting down and you're receiving that food.
Yeah.
Like think about the work and mind that went through it. And then how did you guys get to that point where you were like, okay, let's get into this partnership. Did you go through the necessary steps? I mean, what were the things that you wish you told yourself?
Yeah.
Or maybe you knew.
Well, I think like,
because you knew of all of it.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
Partnerships are great until they're not, right?
Yeah.
And so we did a lot. Thankfully, this was my second round through this. So I didn't say it earlier, but I also own a vegan restaurant as well in Kokomo. And so my partner and I there, same thing, get along great, but we didn't go through the normal steps of proper, you know, contract
agreement.
And shotgun clause and, yeah, and all that kind
clause.
Of stuff. And,
yeah. Death
and so there's, yeah, so
just saying.
Exactly, 100%.
Everybody.
So they're definitely like when things come up, there isn't process. And so I think it's really important to have some of that. And so, yeah, we went through our contract, you know, all that kind of stuff. We had lawyers involved with that. We also, one thing that I really enjoyed that we did the second time that I would recommend is we took a TAIS assessment. So TAIS. And so it's basically one of those personality tests where they ask you 50 of the same questions over and over and over again. And it just with little, you know, changes in the wording and it essentially tells you who you are as a person. And it's crazy how accurate they are. And
I need to do this.
It's
with my
really cool.
On Wednesday.
Yeah. And so that not only tells you about yourself, but they can also then look at the two of us and talk about how we would work together and what are some of the areas where we work really well together. And then where are some of the areas where we're going to clash a little bit.
Okay.
And so that was a huge learning. And it's something we talk about in every big meeting or whenever we do kind of, not butt heads, but like
clash a bit.
Clash a little bit. Yeah. It's like, okay, this is
how you
see it. Let's go back to this assessment and let's like recognize where, you know, we're having these challenges. And
that is so smart.
It's been a very helpful tool.
Yeah. Your partnership is, you're right. It's not great until it's great until it's not.
Yes.
And having that foresight is so important. I feel when you're talking about your partnership, it sounds like it's, you know, it's very intentional with what you're doing with your partner. What would you recommend to anyone that is looking to open up a restaurant, that's looking for that partner? What would be your piece of advice in finding that partnership?
Well, I think like, first of all, I think you need to get to know them outside of work. So luckily, Einar and I had known each other for a really long time. We were never close friends, but we had mutual friends and kind of both worked at the same company for a long time. And so we were very familiar with each other without being friends. And so I think that's definitely one, because this is like your life partner. Like
yeah, you're married.
I see Einar more than I see my wife. And so you need to get along, I think, is the biggest thing. And and so that's for me, it's like make sure that you have a good relationship outside of work before you get into a relationship inside of work. I think that that would be probably my biggest thing. But
I
take your time, you know, partnerships or hiring, like that, you know, hire slow, fire fast kind of thing. Like you got to kind of stick to that. So really take your time. Don't rush into things. And, you know, we went through this process a couple times and it's multiple dinners and, you know, how do they get along with my wife? And you know, how do they get along with my friends? Like all those things are super important.
Yeah. My business partner came to my wedding and he told me after it was just to see who the people were around me were.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's exactly what I would have done. I wish you were getting married
smart.
At that time.
Very smart.
I want to talk about Dovetail. I want to talk about you know, building it from the ground up. What do people not see in the first steps of starting a restaurant?
Good question.
You're starting another one.
Yeah. I think it's like, it was challenging. The unknown, like setting up your business license and liquor license transfers and the work that goes into that. And, you know, you're learning something from net new. And so I think people don't see the behind the scenes stress of just like setting up the business to be able to like pass your health inspection, you know? And I think that's like one of the biggest challenges is things constantly change in our industry, you know, what's needed for health, what's needed, you know, in terms of being compliant for your liquor license and all that kind of stuff. You never know. And you don't have enough money to hire consultants because it's you're bootstrapping your first restaurant. And so I think that's probably the biggest thing is like, when you open your first or whatever business it is, you usually don't have a lot of funding. And so that access to, you know, the right bankers and the right lawyers and all that kind of stuff just isn't there. So you're kind of figuring it out on the fly and you make a lot of mistakes along the way and you have to do things three or four times and they take twice as long as if you just were able to hire someone, but you learn.
You learn from it. Yeah.
And then hopefully as you grow, you can start to bring some of those people on to help you to make your life a lot easier.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Trust the professionals. Don't. if there's something that you need to learn how to do and there's someone that's their job, like
go there.
It's worth the money. Yes, it is worth the money.
That's my take on it, too. I totally believe that. I mean, the operation is, you know, I've been there. It's flawless. I think you feel like as a customer, you're building this experience for everyone that's walking in. What was the concept behind the team and the group?
Yeah, so I think like we didn't know at first. I think one of the things that we did know is, you know, we looked at kind of the three reasons why you'd go out to a restaurant. So you're either going for the food. You know, obviously you've heard the food's great, chef's great. You're going for the service. You've heard of, you know, these great bartenders or these great servers, or you're going for the vibe. And so food, service, and vibe are probably like the three main reasons that you go out. And we've been in this industry a long time and we've been in this industry in Vancouver a long time. I think there's a lot of restaurants that do two of three really good. So maybe you have really good food and good service, but maybe your vibe's not what I would look for maybe on a Friday night for some people, of course, but or the vibe's really good and the service is good, but maybe the food suffers because of that. And so we wanted to create a concept that focused on all three and tried to exceed expectations on all three.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I think you did it.
Yeah.
You did it. I don't know if I don't have to say you thought, I think you did it. I think the concept creation is so important, especially the vision beyond the food. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're talking about the experience when people come in and the hiring, how can you simplify that approach to conceptually creating this experience?
I think, to be honest, it was a little bit of just like fly by the seat of our pants for the beginning,
that.
Right? Like
yes.
We talked earlier about like all the planning that we did at the coffee shop. None of that came true, right? You know, it's everything that you try and plan, it never goes that way, right? And I think so being able to just kind of, you know, figure it out on the fly and outwork whatever is coming up and be able to make quick decisions, I think was probably like the biggest thing to help. Maybe not simplify. I think simplifying is maybe happening now that we've done it once before.
Yeah.
You know, I
copy paste.
Yeah. Like, it was complicated the first time.
It's complicated.
But I think the second time around we have a new concept coming up, which is super exciting. So
are you going to share it?
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. So we are taking over space in Yale Town again. So 1165 Mainland, it was formerly Meat and we're doing a new concept called Bevel.
Which
is fun.
What can people expect from that Bevel?
Yeah, Bevel is going to be, you know, the sister restaurant to Dovetail. So Dovetail's kind of California inspired. So we took our favorite things from our favorite restaurants in LA. That's what we did at Dovetail. And now this is going to be New York. And so our two favorite places to kind of go and travel right now for the culinary side that's close to home. So this is going to be a fun, it's going to be a sexy room.
Can we anticipate some pizza?
Yeah.
Okay. That's,
pizza's going to be part of the menu. It's going to be the anchor of the menu, but we're not a pizza restaurant by any means. And so my partner, Einar, has been working on his pizza recipe for years. I think he's on like dough rendition number like 100 and something,
oh my gosh.
Maybe more than that, to be honest. And it's like hydration by like half a percentage. And we've really been playing around. And that's a really fun R&D kind of thing to do, is go and eat pizza and all that kind of stuff. And so that'll anchor the menu. But then we want to try and elevate it a little bit around that. And so shared plates and then more of that like steak-o style proteins and sides that we do at Dovetail as well. But
yes.
But yeah,
picking pasta from
some of our, some pasta as well. Picking from, you know, our like top 8 restaurants in New York. There's some really cool stuff happening there right now.
And
we have a trip in a couple weeks to go and eat and try a bunch of restaurants and kind of start working on that.
It's R&D, okay? It's R&D.
Stuff. Yeah, it's exactly. The
best
type
of R&D.
Yeah.
You're mentioning Yale Town again to me. First of all, thank you for bringing it back to Yale Town, because I think for so many years, it's kind of gone and then it's come back and it's gone. What goes through your mind with that process of putting your whole stamp in that community? Mm-hmm. Like, what are you thinking about?
Yeah, well, I going back to Dovetail, we didn't think of Yale Town. We were looking at other places and it wasn't really on our radar, to be honest with you, until we saw the space. And when we walked into the Dovetail space, I don't even think we made it to the front door before we knew that Einar and I looked at each other. We're like, this is it. This is the one.
Wow.
And so we didn't think it was Yale Town for our first, and we knew it had to be Yale Town for the second. And so it's having its moment. Mm-hmm. It has for a long time. You know, I think the good restaurants in Yale Town have always been really successful, but the clientele's amazing. There's so much happening now that, you know, there's more concerts happening at BC Place. Mm-hmm. All the Canucks and the Whitecaps and now lacrosse and all that kind of stuff. And so we love Yale Town because it's got great clientele. It's busy all the time. It's got great walking traffic. And we've been able to crack the lunch code in Yale Town as well, which is hard to do. Yeah. So that's been another huge success for us, because typically lunches in Yale Town are quite slow.
You're bringing it back.
Yeah, we're bringing it back.
Yeah.
And so we love the idea of being able to play off of each other and being able to communicate and hopefully enhance the guest experience by, you know, if we have a long wait at one restaurant and not at the other, well, let's get them over to that restaurant. And so there's a couple groups that we follow, but there's a group in LA called the Wish You Were Here group, and they do some really cool stuff. Elefante is one of their restaurants.
That's for
everyone. Everyone knows
Elefante.
And so they do a really good job of that. They have some sister restaurants that are all close by. And so we want to kind of emulate what they're doing.
What a smart idea.
And yeah. And
yeah, it keeps your people in.
Yeah.
Right, in the
and
door.
Share resources. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, I can go work both rooms in a night and be able to kind of, you know, see all of our regulars. And so, yeah, it just made sense for us to stay in Yale Town for this one.
Oh, yeah. It's so exciting. I mean, I feel like everyone is going to really just be in that little corner of Yale Town, which is good.
Yeah, yeah.
We talk lately about what you're doing for your culture. What's your leadership style?
My leadership style is definitely like lead by example. Mm-hmm. And I'm more like on the fly. So I'm let me grab you by the shirt. Let me pull you over here and show you what I'm doing and kind of give you some guidance as to what I'm seeing. That's always been my way. I'm not the like sit down at a table and let's go over your 90-day plan kind of person. Mm-hmm. So I surround myself with that to kind of fill in that gap because some people do love learning that way. But I'm constantly looking at every little piece of the business objectively.
Ooh, yes.
And there's always something going on in the back of my head. Is this the most efficient way to do this? Mm-hmm. Does this create employee happiness? Number one. And then how does that turn into our guest happiness as well? And so I think it's just constantly thinking about every single system and how do we make it better and Kaizen.
Yeah, Kaizen, we love it.
Yeah. And then let me drag you along with me so that you can learn how my brain works. And that's mm-hmm. always been my leadership style.
You talked a little bit about that formula of having a really healthy culture. Mm-hmm. How has that emulated to that customer experience for your own restaurants?
Yeah. I mean, well, like health is super important to us. It's one of our brand pillars. And we kind of wanted to buck the trend of the hospitality industry. I think you said you worked
in
the industry.
And, I mean, people were partying.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's just you work, party, sleep, repeat.
Yes.
And it can be a very vicious cycle and it can cause burnout, but it can also lead to other things like alcoholism and stuff. And
addiction. Yeah, definitely.
And it's something we're super aware of. And so when we were doing our brand pillars, health was something, and to me is our most important brand pillar. And so we talk about it a lot at the restaurant. We talk about sleep.
Okay.
We talk about being the first person to leave the bar if you're going out. We give benefits to our full-time employees. We keep greens behind the bar. So our staff get the like
me?
Super greens. And so it's like middle of the shift. Everyone's like scooping
Jamar.
Their greens.
I need
and
to do
like,
that for you.
You know, shaking behind the bar. We keep protein as well behind the bar for the staff. We're doing the sun run this next Sunday. There's a quarter of our staff are signed up for the sun run, which
wow.
is a lot of fun. We do team workouts and stuff. And so, yeah, I think because of that, it typically leads to happier employees. They're not as tired. Mm-hmm. You know, they feel better about themselves. They have more energy. And that's always been, to me, is the formula. It's kind of backwards, I think, of the way a lot of companies think, mm-hmm. but happy employees typically means happy customers because mm-hmm. they want to do right by you. They come in and they're having a good time and they feel proud about where they want to work. So they're going to give a great guest experience. Mm-hmm. And if guests are happy, then word of mouth, obviously. And then that's my job after that to make sure it's profitable, right? Are we bringing
yes.
in the right product? Is our labor targets, what are they? And, you know, are we driving the other metrics that we kind of, the little things in the restaurant industry, because it is such thin margins.
Yes.
So I'm very diligent about that.
You have to be.
But as long as the staff are happy and they're creating a great experience, then that typically means profit, right? And I think a mm-hmm. lot of companies think profit first, and then it's the customers, and then it's their employees. And I flipped that upside down.
Yeah, you're definitely more of a bottom-up structure,
yeah.
which is a way, it's so refreshing to hear in the restaurant business, because I obviously know the other way around,
of
and
course.
You've been in many
yeah.
of them.
Yeah.
So having, but you're still keeping, you know, audit of all of the main lines, right? The revenues, mm-hmm. the expenses, and everything that comes with it. Do you feel like that's creating, I'm just curious, more of a career-driven restaurant employee?
I think so.
Because,
yeah.
you know, I would think that it would actually keep them for longer and retain them longer.
Yeah, 100%.
Right?
Yeah, for sure. I think, like,
or is there a time frame that you get them for still, or is it?
Yeah, well, I mean, since we're growing,
yeah,
100%. Like, I think there's a lot of people, as we kind of announced this new opening, there's a lot of people that have come out of the woodworks that are like, hey, I want to be a part of this. I, you know, I would love to be the bar manager. And so, I think we are creating careers right now, which is super exciting.
So exciting.
Yeah, it makes me so happy to know that. And we haven't had a lot of turnover in our management team lately.
Yes.
That was probably one of the biggest challenges and one of my biggest learnings opening. Okay. At the beginning of Dovetails, I think I rushed into it a little too quickly. Mm-hmm. But now that things have settled, we have a great team, makes mm-hmm. my life easy. But a lot of these people want to have careers with us and want to grow and mm-hmm. and are interested in, you know, the potential HR role that comes from having three restaurants, or maybe an accounting role that comes from having, you know, multiple locations and stuff. And to me, that's really exciting.
Yeah.
But not everyone has to be like that as well, right?
No, you're like your point of having that management. I think a lot of it's like, you're just kind of trial and error anyways, mm-hmm. but it sounds like you got there now and you have that formula to continue it,
yeah.
which is great to hear.
Yeah.
And people will just be drawn to you naturally because of all your pillars that you've created. Was that hard to create those pillars? Did you know them, or were you just kind of like...
No, like yeah. I think a little bit of trial and error, but they came pretty quickly, to be honest with you, right?
Yeah.
And so obviously communication was another big one for me. And I think mm-hmm. that just comes from the interviewing process. Like I ask people in the interviewing process, what do you look for in a great company?
Okay, these are great questions.
Yeah. And so... Yeah. What do you look for in a great company, or what makes you happy at work?
Okay.
And I would say 70% of people answer in some form of way communication, whether it's just direct communication, or I like to know where I stand with my management team, or I like to know when things change. Mm. I like to be kept, you know, in the loop with, you know, where the company's going in the future, what the pipeline looks like. And so to not have communication as a pillar would be dumb in my opinion.
Yes, of course.
Because clearly people are screaming at me that that's the most important thing to them for job happiness. And so that was one. And then we have Jointed as well, which is kind of a play on words with Dovetail, which is bird. It's the woodworking joint. It's like a strong connection.
Yes.
And so one of the learnings and one of the things that we kind of fell onto at Dovetail was the open kitchen concept.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we would ever do a closed kitchen ever again because they're part of the vibe.
They are part of the
vibe. We even have two little seats that we call them the pasta bar. And it's like we let the guys or girls that are cooking on the pasta station, like they can create an experience. They can make little mini pastas and be part of the vibe. But they also, going back to talking earlier and mm-hmm. talking about the creativity and the artist side of being in the kitchen, like you are constantly being criticized by hundreds of people a night. With your art, right? And so they get to see the smiles on people's faces and the people, you know, doing the little food happy dance when they get their spicy vodka pasta. And so...
At Oakland Realty, real estate is personal. It's your first home, your next chapter, your biggest decision, and your biggest opportunity. That's why we lead with people first. Trusted advisors, deep local knowledge, and a commitment to doing things right every time. Whether you're buying, selling, or simply planning your future, our agents are here to guide you with clarity, confidence, and care. Because a home isn't just a place you live, it's where life happens. Oakland Realty, inspiring positive change, one person, one home, and one community at a time.
Okay, you definitely should do a commercial on that.
Yeah.
That you should do like a little one on the pasta dance thing.
Yeah.
That's definitely should be on your chat.
Love
on
it.
Your Instagram. I love that because it is the little happy dance when you have the
for sure.
pasta.
And that's fun to see when you're creating these experiences. It's fun to see people, you know, show so much emotion when they have food or drink or they're just sharing things. But yeah, I can't remember where I was going with that. But I think
those pillars are what I'm seeing is it's really built around that. It's become a entity of its own.
Yeah.
It is cool to see that people have really run to that. Your employees have stayed there. It's retained really well. I want to know what people don't see and people have a misconception of restaurateurs. Like what is the biggest misconception of a restaurateur?
Yeah, I would say that like we have the best life and we get to go and just socialize and you know, like work the room and, you know, it's a lot of hard work. I think mm-hmm. people know that it's tight margins and it's a really risky business to go into, but it takes a lot of behind the scenes work to be a great restaurateur. It's not just about being in the room and having a busy room because there's a lot of busy restaurants that fail.
That's the biggest misconception, actually.
Yeah.
That is the biggest misconception.
For sure.
Just because you have seats in the butt or in the
butts in the seats.
Butts in the seats.
Yeah.
that you're doing very well.
100%.
But really, what as a restaurateur, what are you looking at then instead of that?
Well, it's like, I think it's like lots of businesses are like this. Like, you don't pay attention to your bank loans and all of a sudden the rates have increased, or you don't pay attention for the restaurant industry, like third party delivery service. And like, do people even know what they're paying in commission? And does that commission, do they know that there's also fees on top of that? Checking your prices with Sysco, that's another big one. Like food suppliers, things can change by 40% overnight. And so if you're not on top of that and you're not tracking those things and you don't know your inventory and you don't know your labor costs, you know, it can get away from you really quickly.
Definitely.
And I think there's a lot of restaurateurs out there that judge their profit by their checking account. But that's not, you're going to run into trouble doing that. You need to be super diligent. You need to have really good bookkeepers, great accountants, and weekly financials. So we do weekly financials.
Oh, wow.
So that we can stay on top of things, because it's with thin margins. If things get away from you, you're toast, right? And so you really need to be monitoring things weekly. We even do a daily like sales and labor thing that we do as well. And so, yeah, it's a 7 day a week behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Making sure your margin.
So that's the biggest misconception. The next misconception is that they have weekends and evenings off.
Yes. It does not exist.
They don't.
Yeah.
The owners are there on the floor. And I you know, one of my biggest mentors always said to me, I walked into my office one day and I was fixing specific things around the office. And he goes, that's a founder. Because you just saw that. I'm like, it was a very small thing that I had to move. It was like a block.
Yeah.
And founders and owners, they see things totally differently. Everything feels like it's your own house. So you want to make sure everything is kind of perfect. Do you feel like you like that when you're in those spaces? Like you're really taking care of...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Know? And it's almost like it's annoying for my wife. I can tell you that. Like... You're always looking and you're always noticing things in your peripherals.
It's
like, but I think I've gotten pretty good at it where like I can still have a conversation, but then I notice that a table hasn't been greeted for a little while and I can stop the conversation and kind of move over. But yeah, I think there's an extra sense of ownership on things when it's yours, right? And going back to like people, no one will care as much as you do. And so you need to kind of care extra hard or the most, so that if everyone below you is 80%, then they're at what is hopefully 100% of what's needed.
And you're noticing it. It's leading by example. It's trickling down.
Yeah.
And you're making this huge part of it. You know, we're talking a little bit about, you know, your operations and the survival of scale, right? And when we're really at the base of it, what do you think separates great restaurants when they scale? You were a big part of one of the most well-known companies in Canada. I love when people call me and they're like, oh, I'm down in Miami and we went to Cactus Club and they're like talking so much. Yeah. I'm like, that was OG, but they're getting the same, you know, space. I guess, what is making them so successful in scale? And what are you going to take that to your next restaurants?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things. Like first, you just hire the best people possible. And, you know, we brought in a director of operations with one location. And so I think that was definitely like, we wanted to have the best people. And if the best people come across your desk or you get opportunities to bring them in, get them in. You may not be able to afford them with the one restaurant, but you want to grow into that. And so I think that's something that Cactus did a really good job of, or, you know, some of these other big corporations that grow really quickly, is they were able to find and retain the best people in the industry to help them grow. Because I think that can be the other side of it is when you grow too fast and you don't have the stability and the people there to help you do that, it can kind of dilute your concept pretty quickly, or dilute what you're trying to do. And so that would be number one. Okay. And then consistency. I think that for sure, like there's a reason why McDonald's is the biggest, food brand. It's because you can get a cheeseburger here, you can get one in Montreal, you can get one down in
Japan,
in Japan. And maybe a little bit different in some areas, but the consistency is there. The Big Mac is going to taste like a Big Mac everywhere you go. And so that's something that's really important, because if someone comes to your restaurant and they have something and they love it, and then they come another time and it tastes different, then that creates uncertainty.
It's
and
done.
That's the worst thing that you can have. Uncertainty is in the restaurant industry is a death sentence for sure.
Yeah. You're looking, whenever you think about a restaurant, the first attempt to the restaurant, like especially when everyone in Vancouver are major foodies, everyone's out and they want to go to the latest and greatest restaurant. And they sit down and that first initial reaction to it is going to be the long lasting stand in your in that customer's mind. Is there anything different that Dovetail and your team does for that experience? That, you know, is there a secret sauce?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like celebrating. And
oh, I
and,
love that.
You know, I think that's the biggest thing is like we do like little cards. So whenever someone has a reservation with a special occasion, it's a handwritten little postcard that we do. And so that gets left on the table. We make our own house limoncello, and that goes out to a lot of tables in the restaurant, especially people who are celebrating. Mm-hmm. But I think, yeah, it's
those little things.
Understanding that like people are coming to your, like you can't take for granted that people are coming to your restaurant. They've chosen out of the thousands of restaurants in Vancouver, they've chosen your restaurant to celebrate something. Mm-hmm. And we need to meet them where they're at. We need to kind of raise our, you know, our mood or whatever we need to do, our level of celebration based on what they're looking for. And so that's something when we look at our, you know, our comment cards and our Google reviews, which mm-hmm. are like the all end all of kind of figuring out how your guests are feeling. That's one of the biggest things I love to see, and something that we get a lot in our reviews is people talking about coming to Dovetail to celebrate and how great that experience was and how friendly the server was. And they made them feel special in their evening, whether it's, you know, an anniversary or a birthday. You know, we kind of find little special ways to celebrate with them.
Oh, I love that.
And that's been part of the secret
sauce. It's magical.
Yeah.
Celebration. I love
that. Yeah, you want to feel special.
That's a nice thing to tie yourself to, you know, celebration. Because, you know, you think about all the places that, I don't know, growing up, if you ever went to the same restaurant every single time mm-hmm. with your family for that celebration.
Yeah.
I still do that with my own kids.
Yeah.
My next one should be Dovetail.
Please.
That's what I'm doing. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to be, that will be my celebratory dinner.
We'll have a little card.
And I'll take the limoncello for sure. I want to get into your mindset. I mean, it is very tough to be an entrepreneur. It is tough to be a restaurateur. It is tough to be a leader and a visionary of sort into that space. How do you personally handle pressure when you're on the line? Because that must happen a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I thrive in chaos. So I love the pressure. I think that's when I'm at my best, is when there's deadlines and there's a lot going on. And, you know, you have to balance hundreds of things at the same time. For me, like my notebook is my holy grail. And so whenever I'm feeling overwhelmed or like the moment's getting too big for me, it's usually before bed, I'm going through my emails, I'm going through my texts, and I'm just getting all my thoughts on paper.
Love that.
And so I think my to-do list is like in a notepad, it's 2 pages long, because there's a lot going on with the restaurant open, obviously. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. But that's what keeps me sane, knowing that like I have a, you know, a guide mm-hmm. as to like what I'm working on. And mm-hmm. so it's the having it on paper so that it can
leave
my brain.
It's the dumps.
And then it's the kicking it off when it gets done so that you can kind of celebrate the small wins along the way.
Yeah, it's so important to have your brain dumps in mm-hmm. on paper and all the way through, because I think when you're constantly creating things, that you know where the things are being missed.
Yeah.
And you just want to put them out.
And sometimes that's at 3 a.m. as well too. You wake up and you're wide awake at 3 and an idea comes in your head. If you don't write that down or make a note or a reminder, it's gone. Right. And that's sometimes when the best ideas come.
We are literally the same person.
Yeah.
I love that. Too.
That's where I do a lot of my thinking, in the shower.
In the shower, because it's quiet.
Yeah.
I listened to some podcast recently and it was about that, like all the ideas come in the shower. It's because there's nothing, because you're getting, I guess, the water is going on your body and you're not thinking all the time, but that's when it all kind of clears up.
Yeah.
What habits and routines are you doing that have made the biggest difference in this success?
Yeah, great question. I think like sleep, number one, like focusing on getting...
Even with a newborn.
Yeah, even with a newborn, we're blessed with... sleeps really, really well. Oh, I know some people will probably hate me for saying that, but it's been great. One feed a night.
Oh my gosh.
Sleeps for 8 to 12 hours every night. So I am getting my sleep. And I think that's like just taking care of yourself first, I think is the biggest thing. And so I've been on a big health kick lately. So making sure I'm getting enough sleep, making sure I'm walking, getting my 10,000 steps, and setting myself up for success, mm-hmm. I think is probably the most important mm-hmm. thing. But then I think it's just, you have to stay organized is the other thing as well too, right? And so having your notepad, making sure your inbox is being cleared. And it kind of helps you stay on top of everything or else you're going to go crazy.
You go crazy.
Yeah.
Most people I've noticed, you know, top 1 to 10%, specifically 1%, that is so important. All what you're saying, mm-hmm. just having that habit, having that routine. And then if you miss it, you kind of feel like your intuition line, your decisiveness changes, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're not as clear. Mm-hmm. So hearing that is so true. Obviously, going from corporate now to owning your own, being an entrepreneur, what does success look like for you now?
Yeah, I mean, we have some goals. Like I don't think we need to get to 30 locations and have that kind of stuff. I think we want to stay lean is something that's really important to us. We don't need a big head office, but I think, you know, 5 locations, maybe beautiful. $50 million in revenue is like a target for us. That would be step one. And just kind of setting our business up. I think you always should set your business up to sell. No matter what you do, you should always have things organized that if the right person comes along that you're set up. And so, yeah, for us, it's growing to, you know, 3 to 5 locations, having a small head office team. And then we talked about it earlier, but I think just like having other people around you have successful careers and be able to afford homes in Vancouver. And, yes. and like that's success to me.
I know a couple of realtors.
Yeah. But like dragging people along with you and mm-hmm. you know, creating livelihoods for, you know, hundreds of people that at the end of the day is success. And then going back to the health, like having a culture of multiple restaurants where our brand is known for being the healthiest restaurant brand in BC and creating a legacy with that and maybe changing the way this industry is a little bit with partying and all that kind of stuff. I think
what an initiative.
That to me would be the ultimate success.
Oh my God. That's such a movement too. And I definitely see it for sure. I do want to ask these questions and because I think a lot of people are, you know, in that mindset, maybe they're like, they're 19 years old and they're like, would love to do what you've done in your incredible small stint mm-hmm. of your career so far. If you could rebuild everything like from scratch, what would you have done differently? Or would you have done anything differently?
Yeah. I mean, no, I think everything that happens for a reason. And it's a learning experience. So I don't know if I would do anything differently. I'm happy that I've learned from my mistakes along the way, because I think if you don't make those mistakes early, you're going to make them later in your career. And so I am a true believer that everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when I'm opening up my first location at Kokomo and where I'm in a shell of a restaurant and I'm trying to be the first aid officer and I'm freezing and I'm going home and I feel like I'm going to want to cry every night that I'm going home. Yeah, I would do that differently. I would have hired a proper GC and all those things. Mm-hmm. But because I went through that, Dovetail's build was so much easier. And now Bevel's build's going to be even more, even more efficient. And so, yeah, I think you really have to be self-reflective and you need to look at everything you do and learn from your mistakes. And so I think that's why these big failures that you have as an entrepreneur are more valuable than the wins that you have for sure.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. So other than Bevel, obviously Bevel, that's mm-hmm. a huge kind of push for what you're working on, what you're excited about. What are you excited about most in that?
Yeah, I think there's always that doubt, you know, is Dovetail a one-off?
How do you handle that doubt, Colin?
Yeah.
How do you handle that?
A lot of self-talk. I think we're excited to like have more proof of concept and like really put our stamp as a group versus just a restaurant. I think that'll be great. And then I think to do pizza.
I'm so excited about this.
That was part of the original Dovetail concept was pizza. And it was a blessing in disguise that we couldn't do it at the current location. We just didn't have space. Don't have a walk-in cooler at Dovetail, believe it or not. So
is it a small kitchen?
It's tiny.
Yeah. I, you know, it's funny because it feels so big. But it may be because it feels like there's so much passion coming from the kitchen.
But what you see is all you see. We have one little prep table in the back. There's 3 stand-up fridges. It's for the volume that we do, our prep area should be 5 times the size. And so we have to get deliveries 7 days a week. And so we've been working on these pizza recipes for the longest time, and
I will be your taste.
It's going to be a staple,
group.
Yeah. And and so I truly believe that it's going to be the best pizza in the city. And
did we get that, guys? Did we clip that?
But I think that's the thing that one of the things that we're most excited about is to be able to share Einar's pizza with the city.
Oh,
there's
Einar.
A lot of hype behind it right now.
I've heard this.
He has quite the Instagram following.
I mean, what an incredible piece for yourself. And I cannot wait to just continue to follow that success for yourself. Like the whole group, Colin, yourself, Einar, the whole team, Jen, everybody that is giving their passion to this project. And I know this is going to be a part one because I feel like, you know, there'll be another part two coming up. But I'm going to do some like rapid fire on you. Mm-hmm. Are you ready for
I'm
it?
Ready. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What's one trait every great operator must have?
Oh, geez. Tenacity.
Oh, it's not the truth.
Yeah.
Tenacity and like, yeah, tenacity. That's, I'm going to get a shirt made for you on that. Hire fast or fire fast? We talked.
Yeah, fire fast. Fire fast. Slow.
Yeah. Fire slow. What kills a restaurant faster? A bad food or bad culture?
Bad culture.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. I think restaurants can get away with okay food. You can't get away with poor service or rude service. That's, you know, I think people will come back and try a restaurant a second time, give them a second chance if the food was a bit of a miss, because it could just have been an off night. But if you get a rude server or the front door experience is poor, you're not coming back, and you get written off so quickly. And if it happens early in the experience, it doesn't matter how good the food is, they're not going to think it's good. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
If you're not eating at your restaurant, where are you eating?
Alisa.
Steakhouse. I mean,
it's such a like, simple answer, because, you know, they were just awarded, you know, one of the best steakhouses in the world, but they're neighbors of ours. Mm-hmm. We love what they're doing over there. Cool. And it's good, healthy food.
I'm just curious. When I was in the restaurant business, people from other restaurants would come and like drink after mm-hmm. there as a group. Yeah. Do people do that at your restaurant?
Yeah. Yeah. We're not open super late. So there's a couple other restaurants in Yaletown that are more the like late night spot.
The late night spot.
But yeah, we'll get people after. Don't really want to say this. We'll get people before as well too, which we definitely don't allow on our side, but I think that's the best part. One of the other great parts about Yaletown is like, we know a lot of the people that operate in Yaletown. We know a lot of the other business owners. And so there definitely is a lot of sharing of wealth, and there's a lot of cheering on as well. Cause I think that in the industry can be, especially in Vancouver, I think there can be some jealousy and people are quick to put down other concepts because it's like a backwards way of making them feel better about their own concepts. But yeah, I think like, I love you. Everyone's rooting for each other in Yaletown. When new restaurants come around, it's just more people that are coming into the area. And that should be the way that I think you look at competition, is it's just an opportunity to bring more people down. And
there's enough room.
There's enough room for
everyone. There's enough room for everybody. I'm so lucky that I live in this city. What's one non-negotiable in your business today?
Oh, great question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's friendliness. I would say like just that you can't, like it's non-negotiable that like our customer, like the excitement, the experience for the customer comes first. Like there's no, you got to kind of check your attitude at the door and just never compromise service.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Last one, scale or control? What matters more?
Control what matters. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think like I'll use Bevel as a perfect example. Mm-hmm. Like we were trying to scale quickly and open before World Cup and get this like awesome couple weeks in the city, but we decided not to, and I guess this is probably the first time people are hearing this, but we're going to open after World Cup. And so after some discussion, you know, we, instead of trying to scale quickly and capture these sales and this excitement in the city, we quickly realized that it would probably hurt Dovetail, you know, pulling resources from Dovetail in what will be probably the busiest couple weeks in the city. And so we decided to put pause on the opening. We have a long time to build Bevel, and let's take that opportunity to train and develop our team from Bevel at Dovetail, bring in extra managers, have two general managers, two chefs working so that we can kind of start. And so I think, scaling too quickly is a very dangerous thing.
Oh my God.
And so there needs to be process.
There needs to be process.
And you have to do it methodically.
Yeah. With systems, it's very important. Having that strategic plan set so you're ready to go.
Yeah.
Right?
Systems are, it's an interesting thing. Like, so that's one thing I did want to talk about today, because it's something that I learned very recently, and I'm going to butcher this saying, but I've never been like a job description person. I really don't like them. I think they're necessary, but I was talking to, doing this TAZ assessment.
Yes.
We do them for all of our general managers and chefs as well. And we were going through with the guy who runs the program. We were going through one of our, actually the GM that we just hired for Bevel. And he said something, and excess amounts of process creates high avoidance.
Yes.
And that was something that was like, that was the, always finding, I could never articulate why I didn't like job descriptions and why I didn't like a ton of process and systems. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's because I think it allows people to say, well, that's not in my job description, or like, that wasn't in the checklist, so I didn't do it. And you know, being an entrepreneur or being an operator, like you need to live in the gray.
You do need to live in the gray.
Constantly be looking at the curveballs that are being thrown at you. And so when you have too much process and when there's too many checklists and too many guidelines and too many job descriptions, it creates avoidance because it's an easy out for people to not take responsibility on things.
Oh so my gosh.
That was a huge learning for me a couple of weeks ago. And it's something that we talk about a lot now with our management team.
Do you feel like you're talking to preaching them about adaptability? Is that kind of what you're saying?
So exactly.
The processes are this way, they're meant in gray in space.
Yeah.
But you have to be able to adapt to FIFA.
Yeah.
You know, you might have to adapt to three of the people being sick on a bad day.
100%.
You know, like it is really, you know, you're right. It's this kind of entrepreneurship. We are thrown so much. And if we're not around that team that can kind of adapt, then it's more challenging for us to continue to move that needle. Right?
Yeah. And that's kind of the magic with Dovetail is like we have these operators that have this corporate backbone. And so there are systems in you know, behind the scenes that make sure that things move well, but we allow everyone to be individuals, and that kind of creates that, like, you know, more of the independent style, and it's something our staff love. The dress code that we have is you know, they can be themselves. Mm-hmm. You can be as quirky as you want to be. It doesn't need to be scripted and very corporate. And I think that's the fun thing and the thing I love the most about going from corporate to now doing this on my own is allowing people to be individuals. And you know, for me and going back to this like, you know, excess rigid process. Yeah. It's like, here's the 7 guidelines that we have, and here's the end goal. You figure out how to get there. And as long as you get to that end goal, I don't care how you did it. That's up to you. And if everyone's different, then it creates fun, different experiences when you come in. So it's not the exact same every single time you come
and
in
you from learn a service something, standpoint. Right?
You learn something. Yeah.
You learn something along the way. I think that allows you to adapt, but you can innovate off of what other people are doing and build off of it, 100%. Which you guys are doing so beautifully.
Yeah. And, you know, pick other things. If people that come from other restaurants that have better systems, like by all means, like tell me what I'm doing wrong. And, you know, and yeah, if you've done it differently and you think it's more efficient the other way, like speak up.
Yeah. Checklists become very tedious. You know, we want them there.
Yes. They're
to
important.
Make sure they're good for standard. But after that, I think if it's memorized, continue to do whatever you got to do.
Yeah. Just share the end goal and people know how to get there.
Oh my gosh. So we are going to be watching for Bevel. We are going to be coming to Dovetail. Mm-hmm. Colin, thank you for being on Get On Top.
Well,
I appreciate it.
Yeah,
and we'll have to definitely hang out in this new space. I'm so excited to eat your pizza. And now that I know it's going to be the best one, I'm just going to be waiting out line, like outside. It'll be like, will people be able to take out?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay,
we'll do takeout. Yeah, I think it's,
you'll be able to.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It's going to be New York style, right?
New York style.
That's the thing. And dine in, take out. We'll have it all for sure.
I have one last question and just curious about this. How influential are influencers for your people coming in? Now.
Yeah.
I
think it's important. We've never done paid marketing ever. Like we have people that are happy to post and, you know, I think we recognize when they do and we thank them and stuff, but we've never really done the paid side. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, I think each business is different. Right. And I think the tough thing with us when you're in it is, you know, when people have been paid to do it. And so it seems a little disingenuous a little bit, but yeah, influencers are important. You know, the social media is super important to us and the way we interact and our brand and our message and the feel of our social media is really important. But we've never been like big influencer
kind of,
trying to get people and pay for them to come down and stuff. It just hasn't been part of our DNA. But, you know,
I was so interested in that because I do so much like, where should I go for Friday night on like TikTok?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's like,
it's amazing. It's like, and then I'm like, oh, but now it's like, I just asked tomorrow, but basically like, I don't know. And I feel like that's a huge part of the restaurant business now. It's really changed where, and it doesn't have to be an influencer. It can just be a person's quick.
Yeah. And we've had huge success from that, right? And you know, even like from the influencers, like the, you know, the strawberry milk mobs of the world. Like,
exactly. They love you guys.
Yeah. And so, but that's been all natural, right? Like that's just a genuine, like they've come in, they've had a great experience and we're very lucky that they're willing to share that on their social platforms. But
It's so exciting. Well, we're cheering you on.
Thank you.
I can't wait. Thank you, Colin, for being on Get On Top.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Get On Top. Don't miss out on more incredible stories by rating, reviewing, and following our podcast on your platform of choice. Remember to tag us on social media at Get On Top Podcast. Until next time, keep climbing, keep striving, and always remember, the view is worth it from the top.
This podcast is produced and edited by Podfather Creative.